Well, Merry Christmas to you. Lovely to see you here. My name is Dave Clancy. I'm the vicar here at St. Saviour's and St. Nicholas. Thank you for coming. It's delightful that you're here. We're going to spend a few minutes thinking about that reading that we've just heard from Joe. Before we do that, though, I'm wondering if we might ask God to help us listen and think. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this special time, for this wonderful day, for the joy of being able to share it together. Father, in these moments, as we consider what you might have to say to us as we start this Christmas day, grant us hearts and ears that are tuned to your goodness and your kindness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a few hours, you and I are going to take part in a powerful ritual. We will sit in a room with those whom we love. We will take from what is ours and we will transfer that to another in the room. We will then have objects conferred upon us from others, and that which was unknown will become known as we frantically tear the wrapping paper off and see what goodies lie inside. Every family has their own way of doing it. Your family will probably be different to mine. And most of us, for most of us at least growing up, this was a powerful time. We remember those moments gathered around the tree. We may even remember the gifts that we were given. For gifts are powerful. A friend of mine at this church decided once to give a kidney. Not to any one particular person. Nobody had asked him for it. It's just that he had a spare one, as we all do. And he knew that some people had kidneys which didn't work. And so he gave his generously, powerfully. I have other friends in this church and elsewhere who have given a child a home. They've made room in their lives and in their families for one more. And they've opened themselves up at great cost to welcome in a little one who had no home or whose home was full of fear and danger. They gave a gift of life. It was a generous, powerful gift. And most of us, in a few hours' time, aren't going to receive such gifts. In fact, if you do find a kidney in a box under a tree, I'd be slightly concerned for you. We're not going to receive those sort of gifts. The socks and the Ferrero Rochers and the vouchers that we'll give and receive don't really seem that powerful, do they? And at one level, they're simply practical and helpful, and we hope that they will display our love and our care for those that we give to. And as we receive, we'll be thankful for the thoughtfulness and the love shown by others towards us. But I wonder if you might come with me for a few moments as we think about a little bit more about the power that is present, even in mundane gifts. You see, all gifts have this intrinsic power that they contain within them, for they create and reinforce a person's identity. They have this power, for they create and they reinforce a person's identity. Let me give you an example. Let's take person A. We'll call her Davina, for want of a better name. Davina, in a few hours' time, will receive a skydiving voucher and a new pair of running shoes, and she gets some clothing made out of high-tech fabrics, and she gets some extra caffeinated coffee. Who is Davina? Well, Davina's exhausting. She's adventurous. She's an explorer. She's out and about and active. Let's take person B. Let's call him Dave, for want of a better name. Dave receives socks and three books and a new tea strainer and a vintage fountain pen. Who is Dave? Well, Dave is lucky. But Dave is also probably a little bit bookish. He's a little bit reflective. He probably wears cardigans. And Dave and Davina, when they receive those gifts, they will have confirmed to them that this is who they are. This is what they're like. This is how other people view them. And so in a small way, they will have reinforced to them, this is who I am. That's why there's this strange thing that happens when you receive a really bizarre gift from someone. If Dave were to receive Lycra bike shorts, if Davina were to receive a first edition of a classic book, they would think, do you not know me? I don't do this. This isn't me. I lived in Sydney a number of years ago, for 4 years, and when I left, a lovely couple in the church that I was working in gave me a gift. They knew that I enjoyed rugby. They knew that I supported the All Blacks through thick and thin, and they gave me this gift. It was a Wallabies scarf and a Wallabies hat. What do I do with this? You see, my skin is kind of tingling as I even hold them. What do I do with these things? They were lovely people. I'm sure they were well-intentioned. But they don't really know me, do they? See, gifts are powerful. For they create, they reinforce identity. And the gifts we long for, the gifts that we dream of, the gifts that are really poignant and perfect, are those which would create and reinforce the identity that we deeply long for. The identity that we dream of, that we wish we were. Gifts that would show that those around us have picked up on who we want to be. They would show that they've understood who we're trying to project to the world, so that the world might see me as I really want to be. It'll be different for different people, won't it? These perfect gifts. Maybe for you, it's the engagement ring. That he might see that all I want is to be married. Maybe for you, it might be an item of clothing, a phone, a gadget, that my friends then might see that I am cool, that I do fit in, that I'm on trend. Maybe for you, it might be the keys to a bike or a boat or a car, so that my family might see that I'm still young, I'm still alive, I haven't become staid and boring and old. Or maybe for you it might be anything at all under that tree that you haven't had to buy for yourself and wrap for yourself and put your own name on the label, so that it might show that your family actually have paid attention and are interested in you and they love you. You see, to receive such gifts, to be seen in such a light, it gives us meaning. It forges and sustains our identity of who we are. It gives us confidence to go out into the world knowing who we are. It gives us confidence to stand in front of the mirror, knowing that I know who I am, and knowing that they know who I am as well. Do you see the power of gifts? Do you see what they mean for our identity, for how others see us, for how we long for others to see us, how we see ourselves? And yet, for all their power, gifts are dangerous. For the identity that they create and that they reinforce, the identity that we long for people to acknowledge and validate in us through the gifts that they give us, that confidence and that identity that they give, that is fleeting. And it is weak. And it is vulnerable. You see, if our identity comes from the gifts that others give us, if our confidence in who we are comes from the fact that they see us a particular way, what happens when the gifts change? What happens when their view of you alters? What happens when you don't get the keys to the bike or the boat or the car and you get socks and a book of Sudoku? Who are you? What happens when you long for this season's fashion so that you might continue to be on trend, but you receive a polar fleece cardigan, a pair of sandals? Who are you? How do people view you? See, the great problem with grounding our identity in how others view us is that their view of us can change. They can give us the wrong gift. They can miss who we want to be. And they can then decide that we will be something other than what we want to be. See, if our confidence is found in how others view us, we will always be at their mercy. And we will live our lives seeking their approval and their validation that they might give us. the gift of saying who we really are. But there's also a great problem in seeking to ground our identity in how we view ourselves, how we project ourselves. There's a problem in creating and forming our identity to suit ourselves, because sometimes people don't pick up on that. We fail to project the us that we want to be, but sometimes we just can't project who we want to be. What happens, let's take Davina for an example, what happens to her when she is injured or sick and can't be adventurous or athletic or active? Who is she then? What happens to Dave when his eyesight fails and arthritis hits and he can't read and he can't write? Who is he? And what happens to us when we desperately want to be someone different to who we are? But no matter how much we try, no matter what impressions we give, no matter what outward alterations we might make, we just can't change who we are, because of the way that we were treated as children, or what we were told about who we really were, because of the experiences we've had or haven't had, the abilities we possess or don't. You see, these things restrict and block and hold us back from being who we want to be. We need an identity which is not based on the arbitrary decisions of others. We long for an identity which is not shaped by the wrong that has been done to us or the opportunities that we haven't had. Friends, that is what we are given this Christmas. That is the gift of God in Jesus, his Son. A hope, a confidence, an identity. We heard these words read a few moments ago. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, receiving the gift of Jesus gives a person this identity. They are a child of God. That is a powerful gift, and it grants a permanent identity. Do you see the contrast? This identity is not of natural descent. Your family, your failures, your fears, none of this stops you becoming a child of God. This identity is available to you and to me and to all of us. It doesn't depend on our ability or our projection of who we want to be. And this identity is, nor is it of human decision, what others think of you, what they determine you are like. None of that stops you becoming a child of God. No, this identity is permanent. For to be a child of God is to be known and loved by a perfect Father. Our fathers fail us, don't they? Some try hard, others not so much. But even the best ones still fail us. Some gave us all they could, others hurt us, broke us. But no matter who our fathers are or were, no matter how they tried or didn't, God is a greater Father who is consistent and compassionate, who listens and loves, who is powerful and who protects, who came to us in the person of his Son so that we might become his sons and daughters, that we might have this identity and therefore this confidence and therefore this hope. We are welcomed by him. We are at peace with him. We are loved by him. We are safe. See, this is an identity which does not change. It is not dependent on what others think. It is not dependent on what you do or what you project to the world. And it's an identity which is open to all of us, available to all who receive the gift of Jesus, who receive him by believing in his name. To those who trust him, who welcome him into their lives. For as we do that, God welcomes us and gives us this identity. He declares to us, he declares to the world, you are my child, a child of God. My friend, I pray that this Christmas you might receive this powerful gift, this permanent identity. Shall we pray? O gracious Father, we thank you for this offer, this hope, this confidence that we might be your children, sons and daughters, born not of natural descent, not of another person's decision, but born of you, loved by you, welcomed by you. O Father, might we receive him whom you have given to us. Might we believe in his name, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.